Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. If you have not contacted us, please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministry, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson, developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the privilege of breaking bread together to open the Word of God and study the things that you have shared with us, to help us understand what you've done for us because of your great love for your creation, man. We thank you for the coming of the Holy Spirit as a result of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for the gift of the Spirit in our lives, to help us and to give us power to be able to understand your word and make application of your word in our everyday life in relationship to others. And so we pray today, Holy Spirit, that you would unfold the word of God to us and cause it to be established deeply in our hearts, cause us to be men and women that are able to walk in those things that you reveal to us in the power of the Spirit. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you, Lord, as we begin today's lesson. We're going to begin today in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Wow, what a statement Paul gives to us here. I've been kind of meditating on this all week. And Paul clearly taught in 1 Corinthians 13 that a significant work of the Spirit is to help us be established in love. Certainly, at times, we all fall short of the biblical mandate in this area. Paul builds a bridge between the 12th and 14th chapters with the admonition of pursue love. But he also says to desire earnestly spiritual gifts. There are some in the faith who persist on setting love against spiritual gifts. But this is a total misinterpretation or presentation of what Paul is teaching the church. It is important to understand the Holy Spirit gives gifts because they are intended to be the vehicle by which love is conveyed to all those in need of receiving God's grace. Unfortunately, the Corinthian believers were using the gifts of the Spirit in a selfish way. Paul did not say to stop using the gifts, but rather change your mind about how you are viewing these gifts that the Spirit is so willing to bestow. And some believe that those gifts ceased because the Word of God was preached and became completed, and there couldn't be anything further from the truth. The Word of God does bring conviction as the Holy Spirit convicts the heart of people, but the gifts are still available so that we might serve people in the love of God. And we need to understand they did not stop. The Word of God is not that which is perfect. The Bible, some teach that it's the Bible is that which is perfect, as Paul says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is not perfect will be done away with. And so some interpret that to think that Paul is saying that when the Bible was complete, that the perfect was here now. We don't need the gifts. But that's a falsehood. That's not true. Because the perfect that the Bible is talking about is not the written word. It's not the Bible. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When Jesus returns for his church, we won't need the gifts because he'll be right there. The gift will be with us, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the gifts proceed out of him by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I hope we can get that clear in our understanding. It'll make a big difference in how we understand the Word of God and how we receive from God. So before we can fully grasp what Paul is teaching in the chapters about the gifts, we must become rooted in love. I like the NASB translation that tells us to pursue love. Love does not just materialize. It must be pursued in order for us to experience its development in our lives. A close walk with the Holy Spirit is required for this attribute of God to become evidenced in and increase in different ways in our lives. As we devote ourselves to thinking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, let us begin by requesting His help in pursuing the love of God. I am personally convicted how far short I fall from allowing His nature to be revealed through me. My flesh is weak, but the Holy Spirit's help in my spirit is willing to become a greater lover towards all. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the enlargement in our capacity to activate your love in serving others. Make me more a vehicle of your love towards others through an increased operation of your gifts in and through my life. Let me be used to benefit others in their need and to help them come to know you by the gifts you choose to give. Give and release through me. Father, in Jesus' name, we know that that's your plan, your intention, and so we receive it today in Jesus' name. Now, let's go on in what Paul says in Corinthians 14 here, which the theme is be mature in your thinking. 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be babes, but in your thinking be mature. Paul brought correction to the saints at Corinth over the mishandling of the gifts of the Spirit. As a spiritual father, he wanted the Corinthians to grow up in Christ and not be like children concerning spiritual gifts. He was especially speaking about the use of the gift of tongues in verses 21 through 22. Paul quoted Isaiah 28:11, where God declared that he would speak to his people Israel with stammering lips and another tongue, but they would not hear. Paul taught tongues as a sign gift to Israel, as well as a sign gift to the unbeliever in verse 22. The passage in Isaiah goes on to say, here is the rest for the weary. It is interesting that Paul uses this quote from Isaiah to make his case for tongues as a sign gift. This supernatural ability to speak in an unknown tongue is like the refreshing water that flowed from the rock in the wilderness when God supplied water to refresh his people. Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 14:4 instructs us that the gift of tongues is meant to edify. The unbelievers hear the gospel in their own language while the individual believer is edified as the tongue is interpreted. That was the situation there in Corinth. Corinth was a metropolis. And so people were coming in from all over the world, and they would be introduced to Christianity and would go to a church service, and they'd hear somebody speak in tongues. And the purpose of that sign gift was to let them know the gospel in their own language. That's how God was using it in the meetings there. But it was also for their personal prayer life, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. enlarge on that. But I want you to see what Paul is dealing with here. And when God used that in Isaiah, God was warning Israel about the Babylonians, the Assyrians, that were going to come eventually and destroy the city of Jerusalem and take Israel captive in what we call the Babylonian captivity, as God judged Israel back in those days and used King Nebuchadnezzar to do it, the king of the Assyrians. And the city of Babylon is where they were taken captive to. But they heard them speaking in their own language. The Jews heard them speaking in a language that was foreign to them, in the Assyrian language that they didn't understand. And God was using this situation with Assyria to bring Israel to a point of judgment where they would learn how to enter into his rest. That's why Paul interprets it by saying, this is the rest wherewith I will cause the weary to rest. And the same thing is true when he poured out the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He poured out the Spirit, as you go back and read Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, and they began to speak in other tongues. And those other tongues were manifested in the language of the people that had come from the Babylonian areas, the Jews, the Israelites, that did not obey God when the captivity was over, and repent, and come and rebuild Jerusalem, and come back and rebuild the temple, and God's purposes, headed toward the Messiah. Many of those people stayed in the land where they were captive because they had established themselves with houses and lands, and they had built businesses, and they began to learn the language of the Assyrians as they lived there for 70 years. Now, on the feast day, they would come back from those lands to celebrate the feast days. On the day of Pentecost, they were there to celebrate the harvest. And as they did, they heard the gospel in their own language, the language of the Assyrians, where they had come from. And they began, in their language, they heard of the goodness of God and what God did through Jesus Christ. And they were called to repentance. And the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, above 3,000 repented and received the Lord into their lives. Wow, what a way of missions. God brought these people from these different nations they were going to return to, and he filled them with the Holy Spirit. They became saved by being baptized into Christ and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being baptized in the water as evidence of their faith. And then God filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they too began to speak in tongues, just like the Bible said. And although the Bible doesn't amplify their speaking in tongues in that situation, but they got filled with the Spirit, and out of those other Jews speaking in tongues, they heard the gospel, the good news. So it was a sign to Israel that the kingdom of God had come, that God had brought the refreshing. And so let's look at that for a moment and consider the refreshing of the Lord, that one's personal prayer life in speaking in tongues is meant to refresh the saints of God and build us up in the inner man. As we get deeper into 1 Corinthians 14, Paul deals with that. He says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. And he talks about how that tongues is for our prayer life, and not just simply for bringing a message with an interpretation. So again, Paul's strong encouragement is not to be children in your thinking, but to be mature. Paul encourages the use of spiritual gifts while encouraging mature perspective. Many respond negatively to tongues as a result of misreading Paul. He is not against the use of tongues as a result of ministering to Paul. He is not against the use of tongues, nor does he set tongues against anything else, such as love. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all, 1 Corinthians 14:18. The gift of tongues is healthy, for it is one way the Spirit of God refreshes the believer. Corporately, when a message in tongues is given and an interpretation needs to be given so others can be edified, allow the Holy Spirit to release your spirit to speak in a new language. He wants to give you the ability to pray and sing in the Spirit. Allow your worship and prayers to be controlled by the Holy Spirit as you come into the presence of God. As the Scripture declares, it will be refreshing to you just as He has promised. Listen to what the Lord had to say about it. When He stood there and He watched the high priest pouring the water out of the pitcher, He told the people, this speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Refreshment that refreshes people. It's not in the language itself, it's in the refreshment of the Spirit. And one of the ways He does that is He opens up our spirit. Listen to David as he says, Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep the watch over the door of my lips, Psalms 141:3. And so when we maybe in the secret place of prayer begin to worship God in the spirit, as Paul describes, he worshiped God both in spirit and in the natural. So he prayed words that he understood, but he also prayed words that he didn't understand. He spoke words that were foreign to him, but were coming out of his inner being. And in it was a rest of God. There's a peace that comes. Until you enter into that, you won't know it. You won't know that same kind of peace and rest that comes from this refreshment of the Holy Spirit. So I'd love to talk to you more about it, but we've got to move on. So 1 Corinthians 14:1, as we started off today, said, "Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Isn't that interesting? Paul stresses the importance of prophecy throughout the chapter 14. He does this for a number of reasons. The Bible makes it clear that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10. Moses cried out, "I would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit upon all of them." In Numbers 11:29, Moses speaks that. After criticism comes for two men that were not there when God took the spirit from Moses and put it on the others, the 68 that were standing there with Moses. And then there were two that were outside the camp, and they also received the spirit and began to prophesy. And so Moses, who was the prophet of God, is saying, "I would that all of God's people could prophesy, because the promise of the Father to send the Holy Spirit has been fulfilled." That's why all of God's people can prophesy. Paul said, "Of that gift, all may prophesy, that all may learn, that all may be edified." That's the purpose of prophecy. And so all of God's people can prophesy because of the promise of the Father to send the Holy Spirit has been fulfilled. The Spirit of God is present and wants to release his gift of prophecy. Paul declares that all prophecy in the church is for the purpose of edification, exhortation, and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Excuse me. "The Lord delights in speaking his word through his chosen vessels." Amen. You're a chosen vessel of God. If you're born again, if you've been born of the Spirit, I want you to know you're chosen. You're a chosen vessel. It's not just somebody standing in the pulpit that's chosen, but each believer is a chosen vessel of God. The Bible makes it clear in the New Testament. It says we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. See, God's intention eventually was that the whole nation would be prophetic. The whole nation would be holy. The whole nation would be a priestly. That was God's plan, and he brought it to pass in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have time to dig into that deeply today, but I wanted to bring that out. The Lord delights in speaking his word through his chosen vessels. Men and women throughout the Old Testament spoke of the great things God planned to do through his people in Messiah's day. The Lord Jesus Christ is the anointed one who has opened the way for all of God's people to be used of the Lord. The Father promised his Son that he would give the Holy Spirit to all who believed on Christ. The same Spirit who spoke the word in the Old Testament is now indwelling believers with the purpose of speaking and confirming the word of God to a lost world. Paul teaches that we can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be exhorted, 1 Corinthians 14:31. It pleases the Father when his children desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. The choice belongs to us because God has already expressed his will in the matter. Prophecy is a gift that is meant to be expressed in the local church setting. It can also be quite effective when ministering to an individual through prayer and even counseling. I want to just share personal testimony in this topic that we're looking at here today. That in 1964, I was part of just a nominal denomination, but I was hungry for God. I had the call of God on my life. And I went to a little meeting over on University Avenue, upstairs in the plumber contractor hall. And I didn't really know theology. I didn't really know any differences about the denominations. I just knew about my denomination. I was just hungry for God. And I went forward after the message, and six men came around me and laid hands on me. And I heard them all speaking in tongues. And so this was a brand new kind of experience, although I had seen it once before, had learned it once before, was sitting in a meeting when it happened. But nothing happened to me at that time. So here I am being prayed over, and I feel the power of God on me. It was like electricity flowing through my system, but it was just fantastic. I felt so good. It was exactly what the Bible says, refreshment. But I didn't speak in tongues that moment. I went home that night and got down on my knees in my bedroom, and I began to cry out to God for this ability to speak in tongues. God showed me a sin I had committed that day, and I knew I had. And so what I did is I repented and renounced it, and immediately I felt like a dam broke right in my center area, my stomach area. And all of a sudden, out of from within me, I'm speaking in a new language that I had never learned. I didn't understand what I was saying, but it sure felt good. It was a wonderful edification to my personal life. And then, of course, as I continued to go to that little church, I heard other people speak in tongues, and then I heard interpretation of tongues in those meetings. But as I read the Bible, I began to see rather that you prophesy. So I began to focus on the prophetic and ask God for that gift in my life. And I can say to you that in my life, from the 60s to the present time, I've only spoken in tongues three times in a meeting where it was a message with an interpretation. That only happened to me three times. But I speak in tongues all the time in my prayer life. And it does exactly what the Bible says. It edifies, it comforts me, it strengthens me, and I feel the rest of God. Amen. But prophecy, I thought, why do I need to speak in tongues and bring an interpretation? The Bible says rather that you prophesy, so that in the meeting I would speak a prophetic word, and I learned what it meant to prophesy. And then as I entered into full-time ministry, as I preached, I realized that my preaching was prophetic, that as I waited on the Lord was giving me things to say, and that it was like a prophetic utterance to edify, exhort, and to comfort God's people. And so that's how prophecy has worked in my personal life. I just thought I'd share that testimony out of what we're talking about here. And we're coming to the end of our time today, so I just want us to know that next time we're going to look at concerning spirituals or gifts, which are Paul uses the word gifts, and it's translated from the word spirituals. So the gifts are spiritual things, and we're going to look at what Paul has to say about not being ignorant of spiritual gifts. So we're going to go back into chapter 12 for a little bit next broadcast and look at that. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you unaware. One translation, King James says ignorant. I don't want you ignorant of these things. Unfortunately, many in the church today are ignorant because of wrong teachings on this subject and wrong practices, confusion that comes from the gifts, not from the gifts themselves, but from people who haven't understood clearly the Word of God. We'll get into that deeper. All right? Well, thanks for being with us this evening. God bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, would you just cause these the Word of God to be anchored in us, cause us to be men and women of the Word, and that each one of us can know how to fulfill your purpose in our individual lives, that the Holy Spirit might have complete control as we pursue love, as we desire spiritual gifts. Now bless us in the week ahead. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. God bless you, each one. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Now be sure to drop us a line, if you would. I would really appreciate it. Last week I got a note that was very encouraging. So please drop us a line. I want to just thank you again for joining us today. And if you'd like a copy of any of my books, go to our website, which is www.sdccm.org/shop. The order form is there. Your contribution helps us with the broadcast time. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. Again, you can write us at CCM P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Again, thank you, and remember, walk with the King.